Father, we crown you today and recognize you as our God and our El Shaddai, our God who is more than enough, who is able to supply all our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that in this service this morning, there is no need that is represented which cannot be met by our El Shaddai. Amen. We thank you that this morning we can expect,
amen,
that if we will trust you with our needs, you will supply. Amen. Because you're the God who is able to cause manna to rain from heaven and to meet the needs of your people in a miraculous way. And we thank you this morning. We pray that today you will give us our daily bread. We pray that you will minister to us. Speak some words that will encourage us this morning. Lift our spirits up. Open our eyes and cause faith to be birthed in us. Concerning our future, concerning our lives, concerning our dreams, concerning our difficulties, oh God. There may be some of us here this morning who do not have physical needs, but who do have emotional needs, who do have mental needs, who do have needs of assurance, even just to be happy, to be joyful, and to have meaning and to look towards the future with hope. But the truth is that you said you will supply all our need. No matter what kind of need we have this morning, we know we can trust you because you are more than enough. Our God is more than enough. Our God is more than enough. He will supply all our need. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We pray that today you will bless the preaching and teaching of your word. We pray that you will open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. We pray, O God, that understanding will come from the word of God to us today. Thank you for such a blessing to be here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. More than enough. Oh,
more than enough.
Come on, sing.
More than enough. Oh, overflow, overflow, more than enough. More than enough.
Yes, he is.
More than enough.
And
overflow. Overflow. Overflow.
More than enough. Oh, yes, he is.
More than enough.
Yes, he is.
More than enough.
And he will overflow.
Overflow.
Say, oh my God. This morning, thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name, amen. Put your hands together for Eden, this amazing choir that sings such beautiful songs to us every Sunday morning, amen. It's a blessing to be here again, amen, to continue hearing the Word of God. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. Amen. Amen. The word of God gives light. Light is for direction. When you don't have light, you stumble. Have you ever tried to make your way to the bathroom at night without turning on the light? You stumble, isn't it? You stumble even when you're going to some place that you're familiar with, just because of the darkness. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you find people kicking all sorts of things, trying to make their way to the bathroom, and you kind of wake up. It's one of those painful moments when you kick the bedpost on your way to the restroom, you know. But that's because there's no light. Hallelujah. So when there is no light, even familiar places become difficult to access. Amen. Even things you have done before become difficult to repeat when you don't have light. That's what the Word of God is to us. Amen. That's why we need a constant supply of the Word of God. David said, it is a light unto my feet. You know, it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I pray that this morning the Word of God will shine its light in your direction. Amen.
Amen.
And it will illuminate your path and bless your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we've been sharing about tithing. And I want to continue from where I left off last week. Amen. Last week, we were sharing about tithing. And we began by establishing how that the Jews in particular as a group seem to be a very blessed and prosperous group. And we saw how that there is no other group of people on earth who seem to have giving, you know, charitable giving, they call it, as a culture. Amen. You know, you see, over the years, you see, tithing, when you read the Bible, God said that there may be meat in my house, isn't it? Well, maybe it's a good place to start. Let's read Malachi chapter 3, and let's read from verse 10. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, Malachi chapter 3. We need some speed upstairs, please. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Amen.
Amen.
Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. So one of the things the tithe does is it ensures that there is a supply in the house of God. Amen. There is a supply in the house of God. And you see, when you read the Bible and you read the role of the house of God, you know, it is a place where the poor come to. You know, it's a place where strangers come to. It is a place where, you know, people who are in need come to. So one of the reasons why God wanted the tithe to come to the storehouse is like a bank. It's like a food bank. It's like a place where people can go to and have their needs met.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And one of the reasons why God wanted tithe to come over there is so that there will be meat in his house. So that there will be an abundant supply in his house. So people can actually go to the house of God and have their needs met. Not only their physical needs, but their spiritual needs and so many other needs that plague a human being. Hallelujah. A human being is in three parts. He is a spirit, he has a soul, and lives in a body. So when you set about to meet the needs of a human being, human beings do not just have physical needs. Do you see what I'm saying? Human beings have spiritual needs, and human beings have needs which are within the soulish realm. Hallelujah. Like emotional needs. Hallelujah. And God wants the church to be capable of meeting all these needs that address in a total and comprehensive way the needs of a human being. So he said, so that there'll be meat in my house. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So this is the origin of tithing. This is, God says the way we do this is tithing. Now, as we have moved along and as people have sort of become less and less believing, even the atheists among the Jews, the so-called atheists, I was telling you that the Facebook guy, Mark Zuckerberg, actually says he's an atheist. And then this morning, I was reading something that last year, I think it was last year or the year before, I think it was last year, he topped all giving, all charitable giving in the country. You know, let me find that thing, and I'm going to read a little bit of that to you. You see, so that you begin to realize that when it comes to giving, you know, and charitable giving for that matter, you know, the Jews have taken that up as a culture. Do you understand? It is not even something they do because I believe in God, or even the ones who don't believe in God have taken it on as it is our duty to give. Do you understand? But the roots of that is this verse. This is the root of that giving. He said, that there might be meat in my house. And it is the tithe. Do you understand? When you do some research, you will see that the Jews, I saw where somebody was asking a question, do Jews believe in tithe? And then somebody was answering it and saying that, yes, we generally give 10 to 20%. He says the average Jew generally gives 10 to 20% of whatever he has away. You know, and I was looking at the list of givers. I was looking at the list, the top givers, you know, from last year. Let me. Are you interested in this stuff? You sure? Okay, then I'll share it with you. You know, I came across an article here. It says, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg led the way on the giving list for U.S. philanthropists. Okay, giving a Silicon Valley foundation nearly $1 billion along with his wife. Right? Yeah. And he says he gave just charitable giving. Just we're just giving away just to bless people. He gave $1 billion, you know. He gave $1 billion. Then the next person, he says, this the youthful social media pioneer joins 14 other big ticket donors in the U.S., including outgoing New York City Mayor Bloomberg. He's the next person. Yeah. So the first person is Mark Zuckerberg. The next person is Mayor Bloomberg. And then the third person is what do you call this guy? The Nike guy. Do you know his name? I think he's Paul or Phil Knight. You know, but it just goes on and on and on and on. And you see, and then it says the previous year also, he made the same donation the previous year. That was 2013. So what I read earlier is 2014, right? The previous year also, he made the same donation. Then what was interesting, he said that with stocks making significant gains in 2013, Facebook shares rebounded as well, nearly doubling Mark Zuckerberg's net worth from 12.5 billion last year to 25 billion the following year. It's not pictures, it's facts. Hallelujah. Yeah, I mean, this is in the news. You just have to just Google them and all these things are there. Hallelujah. And you see a lot of rich people. In fact, it says that 48% of billionaires in America are Jewish. 48%, that's half of all billionaires in America are Jewish. You know, so these are people who have embraced giving as, and you should see the giving list. You should see the list of the givers And you see that all of them, you know, just look at this. It says Jewish Americans are the most powerful and influential ethnic group in America. Jewish Americans make up to 2% of the U.S. population, yet comprise 40% of U.S. billionaires. Then it says 18% of Jewish households have a net worth of 1 million or more. That is nearly one in five Jewish households have at least $1 million. Hey! What are you talking about? All right. More than 55% of all Jewish adults received a college degree. Okay. Then more than 60% of all employed Jews are in one of the three highest status job categories. Professional or technical, that's 41%. Management and executive, 13%. And business and finance, 7%. Then it says over 45% of large gifts made to charity are made by Jewish Americans. Yeah. So if you take all of charitable giving in America, 45% of it comes from Jews. Yeah, to Red Cross, to this place, to that place, to that place. You know, 45% of that kind of giving comes from Jews. I wish they would say it comes from my country, but it's not like that. You know, then it's followed by a long list of Jewish billionaires. And all of them, all the names, all the people, you know, the big guys, you know, they are all here and they are all Jewish. You know. So I believe that God is telling us something. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. That there is a blessing in following this principle that he has instituted. Amen. No wonder he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, prove me if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that God wants us to prosper. God is not against prosperity. God is not against you doing well. But God wants you to respect his principles also. Hallelujah. God wants you to respect his principles. God wants you to respect and put him first. Hallelujah. And when you put God first, I believe that you are going to experience that supernatural involvement with your finances. God wants to get involved with you financially. He wants to have a hand in your finances. And the tithe is the doorway. The tithe is the way by which God enters a person's finances. Hallelujah. And as you obey the scriptures, I believe that God is going to help you, and God will bring you to that place of satisfaction, fulfillment, and blessing. Say amen. Amen. Right. Now, I'm continuing today, and I want to share with you today what it means to rob God. What it means to rob God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, before we go into that, why does God want to get involved with our finances? The truth about it is that it is not easy to be rich in this world. Hallelujah. Amen. Because riches, according to the Bible, Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 2 and 3. Let's read them. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 2 and 3. It says, I will go before thee, verse 2. I will go before thee, Isaiah 45 verse 2 and 3. It says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, I will go before thee. Is that what you have there? Yeah. I will go before thee, and I will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Hallelujah. Now, first of all, I want you to notice the expressions treasures of darkness and then hidden riches of secret places. What does it mean? It means that treasures and riches are hidden, isn't it? It means treasures and riches are hidden. There is nothing that is valuable that you find just lying somewhere in the street. Think of all the resources that make countries rich. Most of them are hidden. What we call natural resources, anything that is called a natural resource, even something that is natural resource means it's not created by man. It means that you just find it. It's just around. But all natural resources seem to require either mining or digging or some kind of, you know, exploration, because they are treasures, isn't it? To get oil, you know, people have to go sometimes into the ocean, you know, to start drilling from the oil. Is actually, can you imagine something so valuable that makes countries rich is actually hidden under the sea? Think about it. I mean, if our lives were to depend so much on oil, why doesn't God just put it in your backyard? But you see that the bulk of the oil is hidden. It's hidden because treasures are hidden, isn't it? Think about gold. Gold is hidden. Sometimes people have to dig and dig several meters down into the earth to find what we call gold. Yeah. When you see sometimes even individuals mining for gold, I mean, you should see just to even find a small piece. Treasures are hidden. I mean, think about it. Even you, whatever is valuable to you, is it not hidden? Don't you hide your treasures? All our treasures are hidden. Hidden in our homes, in our rooms, in our closets. Even the ones that are not home are hidden behind pin numbers. What is the use of a pin number except to hide your treasure? Are you following what I'm saying? So treasures generally are hidden. Look at the path to the treasure. Even God, for him to give you the treasure, look at what needs to happen. He said, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight to start with. Even the crookedness of the place, when something is crooked, it means it's not straight. It means it's not straightforward. And many of us have found out since we came to America, for those of you who do not come originally from America, that, I mean, as you got here, you realize that it's not a straight shot. That the pursuit of happiness, satisfaction, fulfillment, wow, riches, there is no straight road to it. The road is rather crooked. Do you understand? It is crooked means that it's twisted. It means it turns left and then it turns right. And then it suddenly does another left turn on you and then another right turn and then it goes down. And you see, he says that to start with the path to hidden riches, he said, first of all, you need me. You need God to come before you to straighten up crooked places. Yeah. Then, as though that is not enough, after you have overcome the crooked places, then you are going to encounter gates of brass. Solid gates that are designed to keep you out. You understand? And bars of iron. He said, I will go before thee. This is the pathway to riches. This is the pathway to riches. And it's no wonder that the majority of the world is poor. Because you need supernatural intervention and you need supernatural help. Look, unless God steps into your life and steps into your situation, unless God helps you, you know, your efforts at helping yourself will only succeed in keeping you behind one of these gates or behind one of these bars. Sometimes people don't understand why even what promised to make them successful does not seem to make them successful. When you seem to be on the road to succeeding and things seem to be working, you don't know where something just appears from and suddenly comes to turn the whole thing around. It is because the path to riches first of all, are hidden. And the treasures are in darkness. That means it requires light to even recognize them and to access them. Do you understand? The treasure is in darkness. The treasure is in darkness. If you had a bar of gold in darkness, you are likely to walk over it. You probably even stumble over it. You probably take the stone and even throw it away. I won't be surprised that there must be places where somebody has actually taken a diamond and thrown it at a bird. Trying to kill a bird. Because, you know, darkness also means you need discernment to recognize this as a treasure. Do you understand? That treasures are actually hidden and surrounded in darkness. You cannot see it so easily. Hallelujah. And the Lord says that I will have to go before you. I will have to go before you and make the crooked path straight. And then I will have to break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. Hey, your path to riches is not a small path. That is why there's so much crime. If it was easy to be rich, one of the things that will be reduced seriously is crime. Yeah. Because people realize that, look, between me and riches is such a long distance to get there quickly. If I'm to follow the right way and just to do things as I'm supposed to do it, I'm not going to see riches anytime soon. By the time I see riches, I'll be ready to die. That's why people commit crimes. Yeah. Because they have to sort of try to find a way of jumping, you know, over these bars and these gates and so on to try and enter the thing early. Which also ends up, you know, leading to all kinds of trouble. He said, I will give thee the treasures. You see, so even to possess the treasures, God has to give them to you. Are you understanding me? I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, I am the God of Israel. Hallelujah. Yes. Riches are supernatural. Are you understanding what I'm saying? For you to experience blessing, you need supernatural assistance. You need God to help you. That is the reason why God needs to be involved in your finances. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why God needs to be involved in your finances. God wants to get involved in your finances because it is not easy to get rich. It is not easy to be blessed. Do you understand? Yeah. It's not easy to find riches. Amen. Amen. God wants a hand. And the means by which God gets involved and descends into your finances is through the tithe. Wow. I mean, look at us. We live in Los Angeles. Los Angeles has some of the richest people in the world. Yeah. When I was reading about the Jews, they said that, you know, majority of the Jews live in just four states. New York, New Jersey, Los Angeles, California, and then there was some other place they mentioned. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, New York, New Jersey, Florida, and California. Yeah. So we live next door to riches. Yeah. Los Angeles is full of dreamers. People who believe in making it big. Who would like to make it big. And who think they can make it big. They come here. There's a lot of big money in Los Angeles. Yeah. A lot of big money in Los Angeles, and yet we float around them. Somehow, it doesn't seem to enter our lives. Yeah, it doesn't seem to enter our lives. Hallelujah. Yeah. Much like diabetes, like Bishop was saying. It's like a type of diabetes. When someone has diabetes, what it means is that the person's blood is full of sugar that can't enter his body cells. Do you understand? So the person is in need of sugar, and yet that's what his body has so much of. But the body dies from not having sugar. Can you imagine that? It's like you are starving in the midst of plenty. Do you understand? You need, that's why they take insulin, because the insulin makes the connection. The insulin forces the sugar that is in the blood to enter the cells, something which your body is supposed to be able to do naturally. Do you understand? So as you're living without diabetes, that's what is happening. Your body is making its own insulin, and then the insulin is bringing the sugar into the cells, and then you are functioning normally. Now, when someone becomes diabetic, it means that insulin function has stopped. It's not there anymore. When it's not there, you need to sort of artificially create it. Do you understand? So the thing is around. Otherwise, the sugar floats in the blood and is around and is around, and then you sort of excrete it. You know. So they say that when diabetics and so on, when they wee-wee outside, you see ants enjoy their wee-wee because it's sweet. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So you are around, you are floating around riches, but the riches can't enter your life. Do you understand? Wow. Your tithe is God's insulin. Do you understand? It's a type of insulin that God has created to connect you to the blessings around you. Hallelujah. By that, you involve God's hand in your finances. You become a supernatural person. Hallelujah. When you start to live by that, he says, I will give thee the treasures of darkness. I will give thee the treasures of darkness. When God releases the riches unto you, you will be blessed. Hallelujah. You will be blessed when God releases riches unto you. But without that, you are just walking and struggling against gates of brass and bars of iron. And you cannot even explain how come you work so hard and still bring in so little. You know, last week we were reading how some people they looked for much and it came to little. Yeah. And then when they brought the little home, the Lord came to blow on it. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? God wants to get involved with your finances. Amen. And God will bless you if you allow him to. Hallelujah. Now, what does it mean to rob God? Now, when we were reading Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Let's read Malachi chapter 3 from verse 8. We've been reading verse 10, but if we just back up a little bit to verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? Can a man steal from God? Then he says, yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Then he says, in tithes and offerings. Amen. He says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. I mean, God is sort of asking, is it possible for a human being to even consider robbing God? And says, yet you have done it. And you say, wherein have we robbed thee? How have we robbed you? And he says, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Now, a person cannot claim to be robbed except whatever articles or whatever it is they are robbed of. The things in question actually belong to him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, unless the things belong to you, you cannot claim to have been robbed. What do you think? Yeah. You see, and robbery is also a little different from stealing. Do you see? Because stealing, you see, the word to steal has it has a connotations of secrecy. Do you understand? See, like when you talk about stealth bombers, you know, it's the same word. Like the military has stealth bombers. They have, you know, stealth helicopters and so on. We are talking about helicopters and bombs that actually come to you without seeing. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why we call them stealth weapons, because they actually come upon you when you're not watching. You don't know they're coming. Do you see? Now, robbery is a little different. Robbery is that I see you, you see me, and I'm taking it from you. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. I see you, you see me clearly, and I'm taking. So when someone is stealing from you, they often want to catch you off guard. You see, when you're not looking, they slip their hand into your handbag or something, and they steal something. And usually it takes a long while before you even realize that you have lost whatever it is, because you didn't see the thief come. So the next time you're going to know, or the time you're going to know that you've lost something, is when you need it next. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you get there and then you realize, no, somebody has stolen something. But when people are robbing people, they usually, you are aware of it. And you can see it happening, but you can't help it. And God is saying that people have robbed me in tithes and offerings. That means while he's looking on, people are taking from him what belongs to him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. So a lot of people who say, oh, but God understands why I don't pay my tithe. God understands why I use it. I'm saying, he's just looking at you and saying, you are robbing me. Something that belongs to me. And God cannot claim robbery except that tithes and offerings actually belong to him. Amen. Have you read Deuteronomy chapter 27? Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 30. It says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Do you see that? He says, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Amen. He says, all the tithe of the land, all the tithe of the land. Leviticus chapter 27. Verse 30. Okay, so you were trying to... Okay, Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. It says, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land... Have you found it? Okay, let's wait for him. No, you're still in Deuteronomy. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. Do you bring your Bibles to church still?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can read from your Bibles. Okay, let's read. 1, 2, 3, go. And all the tithe of the land. Everybody read loudly so you can hear only yourself. All right? 1, 2, 3, go. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Unto the Lord. Amen. It says, all the tithe of the land, whether it is of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. In other words, no matter how it is earned. Yeah. Hallelujah. He says, it is the Lord's. And then he goes further to say that it is actually holy. Amen. Because it belongs to the Lord, it is holy. Holy means it is special. It means it is to be set aside. It does not belong to you. No wonder he can say you have robbed him. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. No wonder God can use the word rob to describe tithing. He says, you have robbed me. Robbed me because you took it without my permission. You say, God understands. He says, no, I don't understand. No, I don't understand. You took it without my permission. I do not agree that you do not pay your tithe. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Everybody say, it's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. It is special unto God. It's the Lord's means that your only power over it is to give it to him. That's the only power you have over it. One person was asking me sometime during the week, you know, the person had kept their tithe over a period and the person was going to give it to their church, you know, and the person wanted to give it to the church, and the person was adding an instruction that the church should use it for this or that or that. Do you understand? Yeah, let's say the church has different funds, orphanage fund, this fund, this fund, this fund, and the person had put their tithe together over a period, so I think it had become quite a bit of money, and the person said, here is my tithe, I'm giving it, I want it to be used for this and that and that. You know, so their pastor was asking me, what should I tell the person? I said to them, show them this verse. It is the Lord's. So you don't get to say how it is used. Do you understand? It is the Lord who gets to say how it should be used. Amen. Amen. When you give an offering, it is yours. You can say, I want to give an offering for this and for that and for that. That's your prerogative, because that is yours. When you take an offering, you can give it. You can offer an offering. You can say, I want to give something so the church will use it to change the chairs in the place. So we can have seat covers in this theater. That's up to you. Do you understand? You can say, I want to give an offering and I want them to use it to change this thing and make a new one that will spread from here over to that side. You can say things like that with an offering. But the tithe, it does not belong to you. Do you understand? So in the same way that I cannot come to you to come and tell you how to use your money, in the same way you cannot direct God in how to use his money. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. He says it belongs to the Lord. The Lord says that the tithe is for him. Hallelujah. So when you do not give him that portion, when you do not pay your tithe, you are actually robbing the Lord. Amen. So to rob the Lord, first of all, means not giving him what he has said belongs to him. Amen. And you find these days people use their tithe for all kinds of things. Do you understand? And you see that it's not a blessing. As you are walking around, you are wanted. You have stolen something that belongs to the Lord. Like a thief who has stolen something and is just moving around in town. You may be driving in somebody's car, you know, a stolen car. You know, you are just waiting for an arrest. Hallelujah. So it is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. The Lord said, it belongs to me. The fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy, holy, set aside. It is for God. Amen. It is not uncommon that you are always given more than actually belongs to you. If you take our salaries, for example, we are actually paid more than belongs to us, isn't it? A portion of your paycheck is actually for the government. Uncle Sam says, it's for me. Isn't it? Yeah. You say, but I worked for it. I got up, I went to work, I earned it. He said, yes, but a portion of it is for me. Amen. He says, a portion of it is for me. And when you joke with it, Uncle Sam is not happy with you. Is it not true? Yeah. When you joke with it, he's not happy with you. Because there's a portion that he considers his. Amen. Why does Uncle Sam lay a claim to a portion of your income? Because he thinks he's providing you with roads. Do you understand? He provides a system that actually supports you. Do you understand? That helps you to earn that income. And for that, he wants you to pay back into that system so that that system can continue to support you. Do you understand? Why does God want a portion of your income? Because he wants to use it to provide a system that supports you. Do you understand? Most of you, when you are crying, you don't go to cry on your boss. Isn't it? When you are feeling sick, you don't cry to your boss. When you need counsel, you don't ask your boss. God is providing a system called the church. And through that system, God intends to provide for you. Just like the government has a system, it makes the road. I'm yet to meet anyone who's made his own road. Hallelujah. Amen. The government provides police. Do you understand? The police, the stop signs, and all those things that help to keep us safe. Do you understand? That is why you realize that often it is ingratitude that makes people not or fight and argue about tithe. It is the most ungrateful. It's the people who say, God hasn't done anything for me. Yeah, it's the people who say, no, God hasn't done anything for me. That's how come you can argue about your tithe and about paying tithe. Because you feel that you got up yourself and went to work. You feel that you made yourself breathe. You feel that you have kept your organs functioning the way they function. You have kept yourself alive. You have kept yourself healthy. You are the one that goes to the gym. You are the one that works out. You are the one that is eating right and eating organic food. You are the one that is eating all the right stuff. So you are the one that keeps yourself healthy. It is like someone saying that, why do I need to pay the government any tax? I'm the one who lives in my house. When I go to bed, I lock my doors. That's why the thief hasn't come. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So in much the same way as the government takes a portion of your income to provide for you, God also has set aside a part of what comes to you. And he says, that is for me. And I want it in my house so there may be meat in my house. Who are the people who eat the meat in God's house? God's children are the ones who enjoy the meat in God's house. Hallelujah. God said, put it aside to help me make a provision for you so that there can be a place for you, a place where you can relate with me, a place where you can pray to me, a place where you can receive the word of God, a place where you can receive counsel, a place where you can receive direction, a place where you can receive help. The benefits that you get from the house of God are made possible by the meat that is in the house of the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? And that is why God takes it personally when people do not pay their tithe. Hallelujah. I pray that you run away from that place in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Amen. So not paying your tithe is stealing God's property. Amen. Amen. Number one is 10% of your income is the property of the Lord. And number two, not paying your tithe is stealing God's property. Number three, the Bible admonishes thieves not to steal anymore. Isn't it? The Bible admonishes thieves not to steal anymore. So to not pay your tithe, you know, means that you are disregarding that instruction in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Amen. So you can see that as we are working, a portion of what is coming to us, even part of your motive for working, is to make some available for those who have need of it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Even before you get the job. Even before you get the job. And I dare say that many of us struggle with getting jobs because even our motives are not right. We don't see beyond ourselves as far as the motive for getting a job is concerned. Sometimes people say, I want to have this and that so that I can help God. But the truth is that most of what we will ever get will only be spent on ourselves. We as human beings can never be satisfied. We just want the next thing. We just want more of the next thing. And more of the next thing. I mean, when we have something, we just want a better one. Isn't it? When we get a better one, we want an even better one. When we get a better one, we want an even better one. So we can never have enough. Contentment, the Bible says, is great gain when you add it to your godliness. He says, when you add contentment to being a godly person, that in contentment is not that there is no room ahead, but able to say where you are that it's okay. Do you understand? When someone is content and they are eating, they have a plate of food, there's more to eat, but they say, I'm stopping right here. Amen. Do you understand? It's their food. There's more food on the plate. But when someone is content, satisfied, they stop eating, even though there's more food on the plate. There's more food they could have. It's been served to them. But they get to a place where they say, this is enough. But I find that God's people don't know how to say, this is enough. Wow. Yeah. Most of us are following the world. We are following. Our standards are the standards of the world. We want to be like Jay-Z. We want to be like whoever, Michael Jackson. I was just reading that Jay-Z has rented a house or something somewhere for $150,000 a month. I was just wondering, why doesn't he just buy the house? But sometimes even the wisdom to do something like that is not there. It's how come someone like Michael Jackson can die in a rented house? It's fantastic. But many of us, our standards are the standards of the world. It's the world that is dictating our standards. You haven't really thought about it. The Bible says the standard for happiness, it says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Having something to eat, having a covering, he says, you should be happy. You should be content. Contentment starts from, if we define contentment as having food and raiment, then most people should be happy. Because most people have food and raiment. Most people have what they're going to eat. Or know what they're going to eat. At least around here. But we are never satisfied. And so we reach out and stretch our hands and take even that which belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. And then it starts to create spiritual problems for us. So he says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. Amen. So God also wants you to be selective in what job you do. Just because it earns an income doesn't mean you should do that job. Hallelujah. Some jobs are dangerous to you. Some jobs are dangerous to your faith. Some jobs are dangerous to your family life. Some jobs will destroy you yourself. The person doing the job. You're going to become sick even working that job. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he says, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good. God wants you to have a good job. And that he may have. He may have to give to him that needeth. So even part of your motive for looking for a job must be, do you understand, to help, to pay and to give to people and to give and to make provision also for those who do not have. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. It says, let him that stole steal no more. Amen. So God doesn't want Christians to continue to steal. Amen. The Bible admonishes thieves not to steal anymore. The next one is that there will be no thieves in heaven. Do you see? Matthew chapter 6 verse 20. This is Jesus speaking. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 6 verse 20. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Today you all are so quiet on me. I don't know why. Not, I'm hardly getting any amens. Well, I'm just preaching. I'm reading scriptures. But lay up for yourselves. You see, this is Jesus Christ. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor corrupt, or doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Amen. So you can be sure, three things you won't find in heaven. There will be no moth, there will be no rust, isn't it? And there will be who? No thief. I don't know how God makes that possible. But the way to keep things out of a place is to restrict entry. Isn't it? Yeah. So could it be that perhaps continuing to steal from God may have implications for entering heaven? I don't know. You just judge for yourself from that scripture. I don't know. I don't know what Jesus was trying to say. But clearly he said there is no thief in heaven. I don't know. Hallelujah. The next one. Stealing brings a curse. Stealing brings a curse. Zechariah chapter 5 and verse 3. Now my time is up. Let me just share this last one with you and then we'll close. Amen. Right. Zechariah chapter 5 verse 3. Then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. That means this curse applies everywhere. Can you see that? For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off, as on this side, according to it. And everyone that sweareth shall be cut off, as on that side, according to it. Then he says, I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. You know, sweareth falsely by my name is someone who is also lying. Do you understand? So I swear by God, I swear God, it's true. Meanwhile, you're not telling the truth. Do you understand? And he says that, you know, those things bring curses upon us. Do you understand? He says, it shall enter into the house of the thief and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. Wow. Hallelujah. That there are curses that enter a house. And he says it will remain in the house. Sometimes you have curses that fall on families. Do you understand? It falls on families because of stealing. Sometimes you have people who steal government people's money. Do you understand? Money that is supposed to build a school for someone and then someone steals it and puts it in his personal pocket. You know, if you do such things, you shouldn't be surprised when certain things happen to you. And sometimes you see certain families, you know, and when the money has been washed and washed. Yesterday somebody was telling me about this show. What, Joe, what's that show Araba was telling me about? Empire. Are you familiar with Empire? It's a new show. And the person was telling me the plot of it. I've never seen any of it. So the person was just, you know, briefing me on the show and what it's about. And the person was explaining that it's about a wealthy family, you know. But the origins of the wealth says that, they used to do drugs or something like that. And the mother had gone to jail for 17 years for the drugs. But the money they made from the drugs, they had hidden it, you see. And now they were running a decent business with the money. Do you understand? So you see that most wealth has similar origins. The original roots of a lot of wealth is often evil. Do you understand? Stealing can bring wealth to people. Then over time, they wash the money. Do you understand? It's called money laundering. That's your laundering like you would laundry, like you would do your clothes. You're just laundering. You're turning the money over and eventually the money starts looking good. Do you understand? It starts looking good because now at a certain point, what is bringing the money is a decent business. Something that is, you know, but if you trace the money to its origins, to its original source, you see that a lot of money, good money, actually has bad sources. And so sometimes you see certain terrible things happening to very rich people. And it is because often of this curse. Hallelujah. He said the curse will remain in the house. That means long after the original person is gone, you find the curse upon the family. Hallelujah. Thieves inherit curses. Whether you steal, whatever you steal. Sometimes you people steal, you steal somebody's daughter. How can you steal somebody's daughter? Do you think you go scot-free? Somebody has, you know, I was describing this to someone the other day. That imagine that somebody has gone through the pains to make food. They prepare the food and they do all that it takes to make the food. And then they set it up by the roadside and they're selling it. And you just come and take it. Yeah, that's what it means. Yeah. That is why you shouldn't marry somebody's daughter or son against their parents' wish. Yeah, because by the time someone is ready to marry, that's somebody's food that they have cooked for so many years. Do you understand? They've prepared, they've paid school fees, they've done so many things with the child, and then you just show up. You know? Wow. A shining star. Do you understand? With some glittering suit, and then you just steal the hat of the person. And as a pastor, I've seen some of those type of situations. And I've seen how it hasn't ended well for them. You see that people in such situations don't do well. They struggle. And it is because, yeah, there's something. Somebody has something in his heart against you. And it is legitimate. Wow. You came to steal their something that they have prepared for years. You have it, but they didn't freely and willingly give it to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? They didn't freely and willingly give it to you. You stole it. You came, you used nice words, you nice clothing, nice perfume, you know, nice car, you know, flash some money around, something like that. And then you just steal something like that. And some people do. You steal somebody's husband. Hey! Person has prepared the husband. When she married the man, he didn't know his left from his right. Learned how to dress up, learned how to shave, learned how to do some exercise, speaks well, everything. And then you just show up with lipstick. And then you just take this person. Yeah. You introduce a curse into your life. You introduce a curse into your life. Yeah, some people are good at knowing people's weaknesses. Yeah, they study you and they know what you like. And they give you what you like. And you trap somebody something. Some people take advantage of what is missing in the person's life and they provide it. Yeah. So his wife doesn't give him attention. Then you provide that attention. His wife doesn't treat him like a candy. You give him the candy. So his wife doesn't make food for him. Then you make food. Meanwhile, even you don't make food for yourself. You don't even make food for yourself. You yourself, you're a hungry soul. But just for the sake of getting somebody's husband, you have begun to make food for the person. Hey! And you make food for the person and you entice the food, the person, and you entice the person. And then soon his heart has left where it belongs. And his heart is coming after you. And then you say, it's not my fault. He's the one that keeps coming. So it's not my fault. He's the one that keeps coming. You put corn over there for someone's chicken to follow the corn, you know. And the chicken is eating the corn and eating the corn and eating the corn and eating the corn right into your house. And you say, it's not my fault. It's the chicken that was walking. Beware of stealing. Don't take advantage of people. Hallelujah. Amen. If someone is always quarreling with their husband or wife, leave them alone. Amen. When they get tired, they'll stop. It's none of your business. You don't have any business get being nice to somebody's husband because he's at loggerheads with his wife. You have no business being nice to somebody's wife because you're at loggerheads or she's at loggerheads with her husband. It's none of your business. Tell your neighbor, it's none of your business. Amen. No, I have to preach wide because I have a lot of people who are listening to me in some other place. So don't worry if what I'm saying doesn't apply to you here. Don't worry because I have a lot of people who listen to me. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Don't steal. When you steal, it means you are secretly appropriating something that does not originally belong to you. And the Bible says that all such people are cursed, isn't it? He said, I will bring it forth. I will bring it forth. And it shall enter into the house of the thief. That means it will enter his family. Do you understand? It will enter his family. You know, and it will remain in the midst of his house. Amen. Amen. I pray that God will open our eyes to understand the importance of not stealing from him. This is what happens to any thief. So you can imagine it gets worse if God is the victim. Isn't it? Yeah. Can you imagine what they'll do to someone who picks the pockets of President Obama? Yeah. Like the guy who threw his shoe at President Bush. I'm sure it was his habit. He was throwing shoes at people all the time. Gets upset, you just remove his shoe and just throws it. Yeah, there are people like that. Get upset, just throw something. So, this one time, he's throwing it at the wrong person. And of course, that would be the last shoe he would throw. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you learning something today? I pray that we'll respect this thing that God has put in place. Amen. It is the Lord's. Say it is the Lord's. Say it is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. It is holy unto the Lord. Don't wear holy shoes. Don't use your tithe to buy a pair of shoes. it is holy unto the Lord. Amen. Don't use your tithe to buy a pair of shoes. It is holy unto the Lord. A certain blessing will not come upon you. Do you understand? Yeah. And God will just be watching you. Hallelujah. You see, and sometimes, you see, people are deceived when maybe they don't experience a certain consequence of their actions. In fact, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes like that. He said that because sentence for an evil thing is not immediate, the hearts of men are set in them to do evil. Do you understand? But you see that sometimes when the FBI is tracking some thieves, they don't arrest them when they see them doing the first transaction. Just because you haven't been arrested doesn't mean you have not been seen or caught. Sometimes they just follow them with sting operations and so many different things and undercover operations, and they'll follow these people for a long time and just follow and understand the whole business and understand the whole network. And then eventually one day say, this is the day that the Lord has made. It ends today. Hallelujah. Listen, you need more from God than He needs from you. You need God's help more than He needs your help. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Unless God helps you, your own efforts will not yield much. I mean, you saw that verse we read. I mean, riches are hidden. Yeah, they are hidden. Riches are hidden. People don't easily become rich. That's why people have to become crooked to be rich. God has to bless you. He has to go before you and make crooked paths straight. He has to cut through gates of brass and cut through iron gates. Things that have been designed to keep you out. God has to cut through them and bring you in there for you to be blessed. And He says, what connects me to your finances is your tithe. Hallelujah. Don't spend a small amount of money that does not even make such a difference to your life and lose so much in reward, so much in blessing that should otherwise come into your life. May God bless us all as we decide to be tithers. Amen. We'll continue next week. Please stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Are you blessed today? Yes. How many are blessed? How many are learning something? Wow. Can you explain to someone why they must pay their tithe? Yeah. Yeah. I heard the story of a preacher who went somewhere to preach. A church had invited him, and then when he arrived at the airport, the pastor sent one of the members of the church to come and fetch him from the airport. So on the way back to the church, he engaged in a conversation with the driver, the visiting preacher. And he was asking him, you know, questions. So how long have you been a member of the church? The gentleman said, oh, I've been a member for so many years. So, wow, so do you pay tithe? And the person said, well, you know, well, I do when I can. Sometimes I don't. In fact, these days I'm not able to pay. Then the preacher suddenly said, stop the car. He said, stop the car. This is a dangerous car. I cannot be driven by someone who can rob God. Anything can happen to you at any time. He said, call your pastor right now. Let him send somebody else to come and get me. Let him send someone that has a blessing on his life. Because you are not safe riding in the car of someone who is wanted by God for armed robbery. Would you ride in the car of someone who is wanted by the police for robbing someone in LA? If I told you that this person is the one who broke into that person's house and the police wants to, if that person wants to give you a ride home, are you going to ride in that car? Because you might easily not get home. Yeah. The pastor said, I don't ride in cars of people who don't fear God. People who are bold enough to steal from God. No, I don't sit in such cars. He said, ask your pastor if he wants me to come and preach. He should send somebody else, someone who pays tithe, to come and pick me up. Hallelujah. Get out of the danger. Amen. Get out of the danger and be faithful. It will be a blessing to you. He said, prove me if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. You know, I was shocked when I was reading about Mark Zuckerberg this morning, and it said that when he gave 18 million shares of his company, you see, which was worth at that time 500 million. Then the following year, the value of the company doubled. So when he gave 18 million shares again, now it was a billion.
Wow.
Yeah. He said, prove me if I will not open the windows of heaven and bless you. No wonder that group alone, I mean, in every sphere of life, talk about real estate, talk about retail business. You know, I was reading about the Costco founder. He's Jewish also. Yeah. A guy called Jim Senegal or something like that. Yeah. I mean, you name it. The people that are doing very, very, very well in any sphere of life, they're Jews. And I was very touched when I read that even though they are only 2% of America's population, out of the 2% comes 45% of all charitable giving in America. It means 2% are actually looking after us. That's what it means. It means we are looked after by Jews. Have you wondered why every president, no matter whether he's Democratic or Republican, just takes one stance? We don't do Jews. We don't fight against Israel. Yeah. America is friends with Israel forever. Yeah. Because really, Israel is looking after America. They are the ones who look after us. Yeah. That Costco business that guy started, you know, I think, actually, what was the stats you were sharing with me? What? It was the American Express thing, right? Costco is the second largest retailer in the entire world. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So, yes. No, it's that kind of business. Yeah, I was reading, they said that even though minimum wage in America is somewhere between $7 and $8, somewhere around there, they said that Costco pays its lowest workers $20 and something. That's a nurse's pay in another place, $20 an hour. Yes. He says 94-95% of all their workers. You see, the guys who be running, they all enjoy free health benefits and everything. So go find a job in Costco if you're looking for a job.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? And I found it interesting that the number one giver is that guy from Facebook who is a Jew. Number two is Bloomberg, who's a Jew. Number three is the guy from Nike, who I think is a Jew also. Number four, you see the whole list. You see, it's the Jews that are looking after us. Yeah. And it's brought such a blessing upon their lives. I see that blessing coming upon you also in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands to the Lord today and just pray and say, Lord, I yield myself to you. Just everybody lift up your hand and just say, Lord, I'm done with stealing from you. I'm done with stealing from you. I'm done with stealing from you. The Jews in the days of Jesus, they were so meticulous about tithing. Jesus even preached against them. He said, you guys tithe even on mint, which is just a herb. They said the people would pay the tithe even when they took a leaf of mint leaf. They would still pay tithe on it. That's how serious they were about tithing. They understood it, that that which belongs to the Lord is for the Lord, and it must not be taken by man. And I want you to pray today and say, Lord, I want to get to that level. I want to be that person that respects what belongs to you. I want to respect your space. I don't want to mix your stuff with my stuff. From today, I want to draw a line. I want to draw a line between what is yours and what is mine. I'm no longer going to consume what is yours along with what is mine. But I'm going to respect it. And I'll put you to the test to see if indeed you will bless and provide for me as you promised, in the name of Jesus. Just pray, everybody. Just lift up your hands and pray and say, Lord, I want to be that person in the name of Jesus. Some of you have financial difficulties. Yes. Your way to the treasures have been extra crooked. But God is visiting you today to straighten the crookedness. He's straightening the crooked paths. You have been going up and down a winding route towards prosperity. It's been difficult. But God says, today I am bringing you to the straight paths. It's not going to be as complex as it has been anymore. It's going to be straight. 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 I will cut the bars of iron. I will cut through the bars of iron in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yes. Lord, open up the skies and the heavens and pour out a blessing upon your people as we seek to do your will in the name of Jesus. As we close the service today, maybe you were invited by someone into the service, but you know in your heart that you're not born again. You know in your heart that Jesus is not the Savior of your life. You know in your heart that you're not born again. If you died today, you don't know if you're going to go to heaven or not. But Jesus died for you. It is your sins that separate you from God. And only God can make that provision that brings you to Him. Only God can deal effectively with your sins. And so I want to give you that opportunity to come to God today, that He may wash you and cleanse you by the blood of the Lamb, which is the provision that He has made for us. While every eye is closed, I want you to raise up your right hand. And I'll pray for you. Right where you are, just raise up your right hand. I'll pray for you. Saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want His blood to wash away my sins. I want to be sure that if I die today, I will go to heaven. I will be with Jesus. I want that to be me. I want to be sure. I want to have that assurance today before I leave this room. And yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you will boldly, quietly, just raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? Just raise up your right hand so I can see it and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone here like that today? Thank you, Lord. Okay, why don't we all just say this prayer together and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Come into my heart. Please forgive my sins. Oh Jesus, let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me and make me a child of God. I confess you, Jesus, as the Lord and Master of my life. My life belongs to you. My heart belongs to you. Oh Jesus, please come and save me. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Amen.